Sunday within the octave of Ascension, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayer, but above all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift each has received, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be said as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me, and you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you may remember that I told you." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, our Lord promises the Advocate, his Spirit, which he will send after his ascension. The Spirit will come on Pentecost. It is the Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom. It is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within each one of us to guide us, to help us, to instruct us in things. But there is a temptation for us to not turn to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to help us to be holy, to help us be like God. But sometimes as Catholics, especially good Catholics, we oftentimes don't turn to him. We turn to exterior things, exterior rules. We don't want to have the Spirit help us. You know, in the Old Testament, the First Covenant, the law of God was written by his finger upon the stone. But for us, the law of God resides in our heart. It is written on, as they say, the fleshy tablet of our heart. The Holy Spirit is within us to write that law on us. And sometimes we don't want to look to there. We want to look to the law outside of us. We want a list of prescriptions to tell us what to do. You see, there are two different types of laws, two different types of precepts, as we say. Or what we say, negative precepts. These are ones that tell us what not to do, tell us how to avoid sins. In the Ten Commandments, it is, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal. These are the laws that tell us what not to do. And once we understand what each of those are, then we know what we're to avoid, that if we do steal, according to what stealing is, then we commit a sin. No exceptions. Absolutely. If we covet our neighbor's goods, we commit a sin, without doubt. Negative precepts bind universally once we understand what they are. Thou shalt not take the Lord God's name in vain. Once we understand what that means any case in which we're not praying, we're not speaking to him, or we're not teaching about him, and the other time we use his name, it's in vain, it's a sin. These are easy, in a sense. They're easy to understand, they're hard to do sometimes. These are negative precepts. Negative precepts prevent us from sinning. So if we can think of like the no sin point, negative precepts prevent us from going down into sin, but by fulfilling negative precepts, we only get to a certain level, that is, to no sin. The negative precept does not make us holy. They do not help us to be holy. They only help us to avoid sin. The other type of precept is called a positive precept, a positive law. It tells us what we are supposed to do. Our Lord summarizes the entire law in this way. He says, you are to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your neighbor as yourself. That's a positive precept. And it's harder to understand. Father, what does that mean? What can I do? You are to keep the Lord's day holy. That's a positive precept. You are to honor your father and mother. Hopefully, every mother will be honored today on Mother's Day in some special way. But how do you do that? There's no simple laws that we can go down through and say, to honor your mother, you must do this, this, and this, and this, because each person is different. The way a teenager honors his mother is different the way someone who's 60 years old honors their mother, the way a 5-year-old honors his mother. It's different. We can't just have a list of laws that tell us what to do. Every positive precept is this way. And every virtue can be understood as a positive precept. Faith, hope, and charity. We are to have faith. You are to have hope. You are to have charity. Prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. All of those are positive precepts. You are to be prudent. You are to have justice. You are to be temperate. You are to have fortitude. Chastity, you are to be chaste. You are to be modest. You are to be liberal. Liberality, not liberalism, liberality. I got to give a homily on liberality one of these days. These are positive precepts, and they're hard for us to understand because oftentimes we just want to know what we don't have to do. Oftentimes they give, Father, what do I have to do? I just want to, you know, what can I do to avoid mortal sin? How far can I go before I commit a sin? And that's really not what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do. It's not the spirit of avoiding sins. It's the Holy Spirit. He's to make us holy. Sometimes I get the question on for about keeping the holy the Lord's Day. They say, well, Father, what do I need to do? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I always respond and say, are you keeping the Lord's Day holy? Tell me what we need to do. We have to go to Mass every Sunday, right? Well, in a sense, yes, but it's not the same as a negative precept. And this is the temptation for us. We want to turn these positive precepts into a set of negative precepts to say what we're not supposed to do. Because it's easier. So sometimes people will say, you know, I missed Mass on Sunday, so I committed a mortal sin. Well, maybe, maybe not. There are excusing reasons for this. It's not like keeping the not taking the Lord's name in vain. There are no excusing reasons for that. That's the negative precept. You can never do it. Attending Mass on Sunday, you have to attend Mass unless you have a suitable reason, such as if you're ill, or if you're taking care of someone who's ill, or maybe you have to take care of a little child, or maybe you're not able to go to Mass. Maybe you're on a submarine for 6 months. Maybe your car broke down. Maybe a 12-year-old, his parents couldn't take him, or didn't take him to Mass. The 12-year-old says, Father, I committed a sin because I didn't go to Mass. I say, well, why did you go? Because your parents couldn't take you? He says, yes, my parents couldn't take me. So that's not a sin. That sin is on your parents. Unless, of course, he rejoiced in his heart that he didn't have to go to Mass on Sunday. Then that's something else, of course. And so the temptation is to take these the precepts, the law of holiness, and to turn it into a laundry list of negative things. And when we look at some of the stuff years ago, this is especially before the council, what happened was the church fell into this. We had a lot of priests, a lot of theologians who would just give these lists. And so you'd find, like, how to keep the Lord's Day holy. You are to do this, 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 or you can do this, 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 and this, but you can't do this, 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 and this, and this. So you'll find a list that will say, well, you can do artwork, Okay, you can do that, no problem. You can get out the paint, you can paint a mural and everything, but you can't paint your wall because that would be work. You can't do that. You can do other things. You can't water your garden, but you can sit down and do studies. And so, if you want, you can work on calculus problems all day Sunday, and that would be okay, according to the moralists. Now, I don't know if doing calculus all day Sunday is really very enjoyable, but maybe someone enjoys that, so that might be rest for them. But we have these lists, and they don't really work well. Why? Because they're turning the positive precept into a list of negative things. Forgive me, Father, I watered my garden. Now, how long did it take? 3 minutes. Well, don't worry about it. That's not really a sin. Did you keep the Lord's Day holy? Yes, I did. Was it your day of rest? Yes, it was. Or was it just a Saturday with Mass thrown in? The temptation for us is to look at it and say, Father, what do I have to do to prevent from sinning? Go to Mass. We go to the 6:30 Mass at St. Expeditus, and then we got the rest of the day off. That's not holy. Now, we get the same thing also with modesty. You know, there's modest attire, and here at the church, I often say, you know, we should follow the same rules that they have at St. Peter's. Your shoulders should be covered, your knees should be covered, everything in between. Shouldn't be tight, shouldn't be see-through. Clothing is to conceal, not reveal. This is modesty. But this is just a general rule. If you go back years ago, you'll find all these different prescriptions of them. There's nothing ever been written by the church. It's not in the catechism, but it'll talk about inches and things like that. So you got to get out the, so the nuns used to get out the tape measure and things like that. But that's, again, that's an exterior rule. We're turning the positive precept to be modest in attire into a string of negative ones. Well, if you're 3 inches up here, then that's a sin. If you give the list of regulations to some teenagers, they'll be able to dress fulfilling those regulations and not be modest whatsoever. They can do these things. Why? Because modesty is not exterior rules. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Now, we got to add a little commercial here, because anytime I talk about modesty, I got to say, however, I want nobody here to correct anyone else on modesty. Why? Because let me correct them. It's right here that if anyone speaks, let it be with the words of God in the epistle. I will correct them with the words of God. You don't need to correct them. Trust me. I do correct people. I talk to them. I try to explain to them. You don't need to do it. The exterior rules, exterior precepts, do not get us to be holy. Now, these rules or guidelines help us to recognize that maybe we need to have a change of heart. If we are only interested in going to Mass at 6:30 and then taking the rest of Sunday off, turning it into another Saturday, then maybe you need to look at your heart and say, well, maybe I need to change some things. And this is the great temptation for us. For good Catholics, the temptation is to turn the life of holiness into a list of rules and laws. And this is not what our Lord Jesus Christ intends. This is not why he sends his Spirit in us, his Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of sanctity. It is in there to guide us. So we need to turn to him and to pray for guidance. If you have questions, of course, people often ask me also, Father, what about this? What about that? This is how we become holy. The negative laws just prevent us from sinning. It's the positive ones, the guidance of the Spirit, that makes us holy. So as we wait for the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost, let us pray to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide us in holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.